Think of all the battles he's won. Think of how he kept you despite of. Think of how the stuff you used to do that you don't do. Think of the stuff that you do that you shouldn't do, but he still keeps on loving you. Think of the fact that if all the worries had happened that you thought were going to happen, you wouldn't be here. He's a good God. Hallelujah. 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 Amen. 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 We're standing to our feet for the reading of the word. Amen. Yes, Lord. God, I thank you. It didn't have to be, but in spite of, thank you. I took my daughter to the doctor because she hit her head. She was running. She fell. She hit her head. And I wasn't going to take her. But the youth minister here said, man, you got to take her. He said, man, I'm going to give you a ride. You're going to the doctor. You're going to take your daughter. So I wasn't worried. I took her. Everything went well. I was talking to the nurse. And the nurse said something. I said, you know, I didn't really need to bring her because she was all right. And the nurse said, well, you should know if she would have had a concussion and she went to sleep, she may not have woken up. And I thought about that for a minute, and it sent shivers through my body. He's a good God. He's a good God. We always have reason to worship. Come on, let's turn to Luke chapter 22, beginning at verse 39. And we are beginning a new series. And the reason we're beginning it now, because this is really supposed to be our summer series. Amen. I never seem to get through all our series, but this is our summer series. This is one that I've been working on, thinking on, praying on for at least 2 years, possibly three. It's called The Seven Habits of the Highly Faithful. The Seven Habits of the Highly Faithful. Do me a favor and just touch somebody and say, The Seven Habits of Highly Faithful. It comes from the idea that the world offers success and there are some principles for success for the world. But aren't there some principles for success for the believer? I believe there are. So Luke chapter 22, verse 39. I'll begin reading today, and on today we want to look at what I'm saying and what I'm calling holy habits. Holy habits. Do me a favor and touch a couple people and just say, holy habits. Come on, come on, touch somebody. Holy habits, holy habits. Holy habits. Luke chapter 22, beginning at verse 39. Luke chapter 22, beginning at verse 39. And it says this. This is the AMPC translation, and you'll see why I'm using it. It's the word of the Lord. Luke chapter 22, beginning at verse 39, it says this. He came out and went, as was his habit, to the Mount of Olives, and the disciples also followed him. When he came to the place, he said, pray, 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 that you may not enter into temptation. He withdrew from them about a stone's throw and knelt down and prayed. Father, Father, if you are willing, remove this cup from me. Yet not my will, but yours be done. And there appeared to him an angel from heaven, strengthening him in the spirit. And being in agony, he prayed more earnestly. And being in agony, he prayed more earnestly and intently. And his sweat became like great clots of blood dropping down upon the ground. And when he got up from prayer, he came to the disciples, oh my, and found them sleeping from their grief. He said, why do you sleep? Get up and pray, that you may not enter into temptation. You may be seated. Amen. God, afresh, we confess that this is the work of the Holy Spirit. We need you to intervene. We need you to give clarity to our hearts and mind. We need you to use this preacher to declare the gospel of Jesus Christ. We came to see Jesus. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. We oftentimes don't use the word habit. But a habit is a custom or a practice or something that you do routinely. Now, habits are very important because it's the habits that we do that build who we are. It's said in various ways by various people. The author, really unknown but not unwise, said something to this effect. Be careful what you think, because your thoughts become your actions. Be careful of your actions, because your actions become your habits. Be careful of your habits, because your habits become your destiny. Now, I don't know who said it, but there's definitely some truth in it. Oftentimes, when we think about habits, we only think of negative habits. But the truth is, a habit, listen to me, a habit will either be a hook or an anchor. A habit will anchor you where you need to be so you can do what you need to do. Or it'll be a hook to hurt you and harm you. Habits can be good or bad. They're dependent on what the habit is. Okay, y'all not feeling me. Let me see if I can make it plain. The story is told of these two brothers. They were walking in a nearby wooded forestry area. They were just walking, strolling together. They weren't hunting anything like that, but they were just strolling together. And all of a sudden, they came upon a hole. Look, Reverend Johnson, it was a big hole. So they stopped and they looked down in the hole, trying to figure out, what is this big hole here for? They looked, and they were especially intrigued, because look, they couldn't determine if the hole had a bottom. One of them picked up a large stick. He dropped it in and waited to hear the stick drop. There was no sound. He said, this hole must be an endless hole. I wonder how deep this hole is. Together, they decided they drop in some rocks. Still no sound. Finally, one of them saw something in the distance. It was a small engine of a former car, former boat, something like that. So they went and they got this heavy engine and they dropped the engine down in the hole and they waited for a sound. As they were waiting, they did hear a sound, but it wasn't coming from the hole. They heard a sound off in the distance. As they looked towards the sound, they began to see something running at them. It was running at them, and it was running nonstop, uncontrollable. It was running fast. It was darting around this and around this. And finally, a goat was running at them. The goat came directly at them, and all of a sudden, the goat jumped up in the air and jumped down in the hole. Now, this is getting stranger and stranger. So these two brothers are looking at each other going, what is going on? Finally, someone walks by. It's a farmer. He says, excuse me, gentlemen, I am looking for my goat. He said, you're looking for your goat? We just saw a goat run by and jump in a hole. Yes, we did. We just saw a goat jump by and he jumped in that hole right there. The farmer said, well, that couldn't be my goat because I had chained him to a big engine. There's no way my goat could have gotten away and jumped in the hole. Come here, I'm trying to preach the reality that all of us are chained to something. That all of us have been trained. All of us have been conditioned. All of us have been connected to something. The only question is that something hurting us, pulling us down? Hurting us, pulling us in? Hurting us, destroying us? Or is it helping us, pulling us up? You see, some of us are chained to some habits that are making us better. Some of us are chained to some habits that are making us wiser, that are making us stronger. They're good habits, and those are important. But others of us are chained to some negative habits. And the truth is, let me just be honest with you, since I'm preaching, I don't know if you'll smile at this, but all of us, that includes you, all of us, I don't know if you got nice gaiters on, all of us, I don't know if you drove a Jaguar or you came in a taxi, a Uber or a Lyft, but all of us got some bad habits. Yes, you do. I got some bad habits, and so do you. Amen, amen. That habit that you're talking about right now called denial, yeah, because all of us got some bad habits. Okay. I was with one of my senior members here, and I was at his house. He had just gotten home from surgery, and we just started talking about his life. I won't call him out because of the story. And he shared the story how he used to work in social work. And while working in social work, he had to visit the homes of the persons he was trying to support and assist through the program he was over. And so he was at one particular home, and as soon as he walked in, he was amazed. He was amazed because they obviously had a problem with mice. They didn't have a mouse, they had mice. In fact, at one point he stepped in the kitchen and there were so many mice, they were all sizes, all colors, and all ages. They were over the counters, in the sink, on the table, on the floor. Everywhere you looked, you saw, don't get disgusted, amen, you saw a mouse and some mice. Yeah, yeah. I mean, there was mice everywhere. So he went to the mother, the woman who was in the house, who was a mother, and he said, ma'am, this house is dangerous. You can't be here and you can't have your children here. And she said, what do you mean? He said, ma'am, you realize you have a problem with mice. She said, no, I don't. They don't mess with me, and I don't mess with them. Can I talk to you? It may not be a mouse, but it might be cigarettes. And it may not be a mouse, but it might be Agendash. It may not be a mouse, but it might be negative thinking. It might be worrying. It might be getting angry. It might be pornography. It might be Hennessy. I haven't gotten to yours, but I'm going to keep on going. Whatever it is, it might be promiscuity. It might be being bitter. Yeah, you bitter. You know you bitter. Don't, That's why you got that pickle juice anointing on you. You look like you've been baptized in pickle juice. Yeah. Whatever it is, it might be being super critical. Whatever it is, I want to talk to you. If you got a bad habit, just because you've learned to ignore your habit, to hide your habit, and to cover your habit, doesn't mean that you don't have a habit. That's still a habit. And you got to give God that habit so God can handle and bless you. Amen. Let me move on and preach this text. Notice the text starts off by saying these simple words. He came out and went as was his habit. Other translations say custom, but I really wanted to grab that word habit because I believe God wants to give us some habits that will shape and form our character in a mighty, in a wonderful, and in a new way. And I hear some of you saying, Reverend Young Buck, let me understand. I got some underwear older than you. You can't tell me about changing my habits. I want to let you know that even though I may not be as old or as wise as you, I can say this. All of us, no matter how old we are, no matter how young we are, we can shape, reshape, renew our habits. That's one of the good news of salvation, transformation, that God can take you where you are and not leave you as you are. Amen. On yesterday, we had a wonderful memorial service here for Brother Van Blake, and this brother was absolutely amazing. I came thinking that we'd be mourning, but I left celebrating. I left convicted, saying, I got to do more for the kingdom of God, because this brother had done so much. Look, at the age of 55 years old, he determined to become a tennis coach. He didn't just become a tennis coach, he became a tennis star. Amen. This brother did so much for people and inly the kingdom of God that it reminded me that wherever you are, God says, I can still do something new in you. Notice Jesus had a habit. And if Jesus had a habit, then we ought to have some habits too. His habit, what was his habit? Look, his habit was praying. We're not going to go there just yet. Let me talk to you just a moment about habits. I want to explain to you how habits work. Would you say the three R's? Ooh, y'all scared me for a minute. I said, aren't we Baptists? Amen. Y'all sound like y'all were Methodists. Amen. Just kidding. Amen. Just kidding. Amen. Look. The three R's. Let me give you the three R's, and I'm going to break them down because I believe they'll help us as we deal with that. You got to laugh sometimes. Amen. Amen. As we deal with our habits, the first R is reminder. Would you say reminder? Y'all Baptists for sure. Amen. Reminder. But after reminder, it's routine. Would you say routine? Oh, praise God. But after routine, so there's reminder, routine, and then there is reward. Would you say reward? This is the psychology of habits. Now, habits aren't only psychological, they're also spiritual, meaning that it's all connected to our spirit, our body, our soul, to our identity. Habits are in our DNA. And here's the good news. All of us have them, and they can be helpful. The bad news is some of us have some bad ones. Amen. So the first thing is the reminder. This is the idea. Okay, y'all not feeling me. Let me see if I can make it plain. A few years ago, honestly, they built, it was a curse from the enemy. The devil tried to attack me, Deacon Hand. He really did. He came at me. He tried to attack me. Somebody built a Dunkin' Donuts right outside my complex. Yeah. And I knew it was the devil. I knew it was. Look, so every day after I would go pick up my kids, I'd drive 30 minutes to go pick up my kids from the bus stop and bring them back. So I would go to this bus stop and my kids would say, Daddy, I had a good day. Can we go buy Dunkin' Donuts? Ooh, child, amen. And look, if they had a good day, I'd say, let's go buy Dunkin' Donuts. You know, I'm a healthy eater. I'm self-conscious. I'm a vegetarian on Wednesdays. Amen. And so I said, cool in the game. And I took them by Dunkin' Donuts. Each time they did something great, had a great test, had a good day. And I realized that it became a habit. And the reminder was its proximity or its location. It became a habit. And it became our routine. Because whenever they had their spelling test and they did really, really well, it became a routine. I'm going to confess to you, since I'm in church, even when my kids weren't in the car, I would pull over and I just wanted to celebrate the goodness of God. I would get myself, some donuts and some coffee. It was a reward. Now, here's the problem. Because this was a negative habit, even though I had this reminder, it's proximity or my kids doing something well, and I had built this routine, which means I did it consistently. I did it definitely on Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, and Friday. Look, and we had this reward, which was the sweet taste of the sugar in my mouth. It was a negative habit because my clothes started to shrink. I don't know why, but my clothes started to shrink. Yeah. But look, that's true in your life, regardless of what it is. It could be being negative. Amen. This is a spiritual matter, y'all. I got to talk to you. It could be being negative. Look, here's your reminder. Every time you see that person, they're not in here, I know, but every time you see that person who sits three pews in front of you, you see them, then something happens. That's a reminder. I can't stand that dress she wears. She wears it all the time. She thinks she's fine because she's so fit. That's a reminder. And look, the routine is you got a partner who's not far from you or who you text or who you call and you say, look, she wore that dress again. Yeah, that's the routine. It's the reminder, the routine, and the reward is they say, you right, child. You finer than she is. And you know, that's the reward. It's being, amen, y'all not feeling that, are you? It's the gossip. All of us have those negative habits. But here's the good news. I'm going to give you one more R and then we'll jump into the text. The next R is the replacement. It's the idea that don't worry about just trying to defeat a habit. You don't try to defeat a habit by focusing on the habit, but you replace it with something. I had a member years ago, a wonderful sister, a godly sister, a beautiful sister. She told me this story. She said, I'm depressed. And oftentimes, literally every morning, I'll go into the mirror and I begin to critique myself. I tell myself what I don't like, what's not right, what's not good. I critique myself and I condemn myself. I promise you. Now, if you would have seen her, you would have said, Al, oh, you're blessed. You don't have to worry about that. Amen. But look, that was her routine. And I said to her, I'm going to give you three scriptures. I want you to literally tape them on your mirror. Tape these scriptures on your mirror. I'm fearfully and wonderfully made. Wonderful are thy works, and that I know full well. And every time you go in the mirror, look at yourself and look at the scripture. Look at yourself and recite the scripture. And she did it. I promise you, I'd forgotten about it. But she came one day with tears in her eyes. She said, Reverend, I don't know what it was, but there's something about that just has changed. Every time I go to the mirror, I recite the goodness of the Lord. Everything God does is good, and it's marvelous in his sight. Those scriptures have really blessed. She replaced the negative talk with the positive word. I'm telling you, regardless of what your habit is, you can replace it. You can replace it with something that will make you powerful, that will make you peaceful. If you take a shot before you go to sleep, if you puff and pass before you go to sleep, don't do that. Replace it. Get a word that means something to you. Get a prayer time that means something to you. I'm confessing because I typically pray in the morning at 7:40 or 7:14 at least every Wednesday. Amen. Amen. I really do. And I get up sometimes an hour or 2 hours before just to talk to the Lord. Now that is uncanny because I am a late person. I stay up late. I stay up all night sometimes. Really, I do. Reading, writing. I wake my wife up sometimes. Let's talk. It's 3 a.m. Amen. Look. But look, years ago, I started a habit of just talking to the Lord. I get one scripture and I talk to the Lord. It's been such a blessing in my life because it's helped me face me. It's helped me deal with some of my stuff. It's helped me deal with some of my mess. It's helped me see stuff in me that I didn't even want to. I want to tell you, you can replace whatever the habit is. You don't have to be hooked on the negative. You and I can be hooked on the positive because Christ came so that you may have life, but not just life, life more abundantly. And can I describe life more abundantly? Then I'll jump back into text. Life more abundantly, I mean, you don't get caught on the negativity. You don't get caught on the gossip. You don't deal with the foolishness. You got to say, back that thing up. I don't deal with foolishness. I'm too dignified. I'm too sanctified. I'm too spiritual to get caught up in your junk. Amen. Let me move on. Jesus had a habit. I want to show you his habit real quick, then I'll be out your way. Hallelujah. Praise God. The first thing we see about his habit is his habit was prayer. Let the church say prayer. Reverend, are you talking about prayer again? Yes, I am. I'm talking about prayer again. Because God says, if my people pray, then I'll bless them in amazing ways. Then I'll show up and blow their mind. Look, his habit was prayer. Can you see his habit? His habit was prayer. First, he had a practice of praying this way. He would steal away to pray. He would steal away to pray. Why don't you say that? Steal away to pray. Now, his prayer closet was the Mount of Olives. This was not the first time he went to the Mount of Olives. He went there because olives were collected there and olives would be crushed there. They would be crushed there to get the olive oil out of the olive. And I got to talk to you that that ought to be your practice. You ought to have a place. You ought to have a space, a place of grace and space, a place where you go to pray and talk to God. You ought to make it your habit. You ought to say, this is the place where I'm going to go and talk to the Lord. I can testify, it might be in the bathroom. You go lock that door, say, kids, I can't talk to you right now. Go to your room. I'm talking to the Lord. You got to have a place and the space where you pray. That's a habit. His habit was stealing away. Now, there are many kinds of prayer, but I'm talking today about personal and private prayer. Yeah, amen, amen. Some of us like to pray in the sanctuary. Look at me. I'm the pastor. I'm going to pray with big words. Wasn't that neat? That's not what God is really excited about. He's excited about when you and I determine to steal away. Yeah, to steal away. To get into our closet and talk to God. To get into our place and talk to God. He had this habit. And when you make that a habit of stealing away and talking to God, then you'll find that God will meet you, bless you, and he'll use you in that time. You'll discover that that kind of time becomes more and more effective. I remember a time when I used to pray, I didn't feel nothing. I didn't hear nothing. I didn't know why I was doing it. But now when I pray, God reminds me throughout the day, you prayed about this, here the answer is. You asked me about this, there it is. You remember you told me you needed some help with that? Go talk to that person. And surprisingly, he always shows up. That's a habit. Stealing away. Getting into a quiet place. Focusing on the Lord. If you don't have a closet of prayer, then you are in neglect. You're in neglect. You got a beautician, don't you? Don't you? Don't you? You got a barber, don't you? Don't you? Don't you? Your car got a garage, don't you? Yeah, you need a place to pray. Because in that quiet place, in that space, God will routinely meet you. Not only did he steal away to a place, but look, he stealed away to a place and he focused on this. When he came to that place, he said, pray that you may not, go down to verse 42. Father, if you are willing, remove this cup from me, yet not my will, but yours. What he was doing is he was surrendering the small stuff. Yeah, I'm translating this in our everyday language. When you go into prayer, make it your habit to first surrender the small stuff. You're saying, God, this is what I want. God, this is what I like. Yeah. God, I like the lottery. Yeah. God, I like this. God, I like that. You learn to surrender it. And the way you do that is simply by asking God to take the taste. God, I know it's not your will for me to do this. I'm surrender the small stuff. And look, when you surrender the small stuff, everything becomes small stuff. That went right over your head. Look. There's some things that seem like we'll never be able to handle them. We'll never be able to deal with them. All the people in my family are cussers. I mean, we cuss so good, it's an art. I'm an expert. I have a PhD in cussology. Yeah. I'm just using it as an illustration. Look, but look, if you surrender the small stuff, then you'll be able to surrender the big stuff. So whatever it is, if you start with the small stuff, then everything becomes the small stuff. So he learned to surrender his will to God. And that's what God wants from you. He wants you to practice surrendering your will. We all have some wills. We all have some wants. We all have some thoughts. We all have an idea. We all have a notion. We all have this and that. But you got to learn to surrender it because it's not about you. And it's not about me. It's about God's will being done. Let's say that. God's will be done. That was hard, huh? Let's say it again. God's will be done. At the end of the day, it's not my voice or my vote. At the end of the day, it's God. God is in charge. God is on the throne. He has the final say. I know it and I believe it. Don't you realize that we're all temporary? Yeah, we all temporary. I'm temporary and so are you. The good news and the hard news is we are so temporary, we don't know if we'll be here tomorrow. So we pray, your will be done. Sometimes I think I know God's will and sometimes I'm wrong. And so are you. Yeah. And so we pray, Lord, let your will be done. If I had time, I could stay right here, but I got to move on. So you surrender the small things. And when you surrender the small things, then you learn to surrender the big things. I said two things. First, he had a place he would steal away. But then I said he would surrender the small things. That is the routine. The reminder is you got to schedule that thing. You got to schedule that bad boy. I'm going to pray. I'm going to do it. I am. I don't care what's going on. But here's the next thing. Check it out. The next thing is there is, after the routine, a reward. What happens after you practice is, I'm almost done. Look at the text. Look, Jesus and there appeared, verse 43, and there appeared to him an angel from heaven strengthening his spirit. Look, the reward is when you pray, God promises he'll bless you. The reward is when you fall on your knees and you seek God, he will strengthen you. Okay, y'all not feeling me. Let me see if I can make it plain. Look at the text. It goes from agony to earnestly, verse 44. And being in agony, he prayed more earnestly. Translation. And being in agony, he prayed more intently. This is the answer to the question, but I've already prayed. I prayed and nothing happened. Well, if you prayed and the agony keeps coming, then pray harder. If you prayed and the situation hasn't changed yet, then pray harder. If you prayed and you didn't see the change come, the blessing come, then pray harder. God wants us to pray intently, intensely, earnestly. Now, please let me make this plain, because that doesn't mean a longer prayer. In fact, Jesus literally said in one verse, he said, don't pray. Y'all pray too long. That doesn't necessarily mean a longer prayer, a public prayer. But what it actually means, a more passionate prayer. That you got to pray from your heart. Now I lay me down to sleep. I pray the Lord, my soul just keep. Yeah. You've been praying 45 years. Now I lay me down to sleep. I pray the Lord, my soul to keep. No. You ought to have a passionate prayer. If your child is in trouble, pray passionately. Yeah. If you have a situation in your marriage, pray passionately. You pray with all your might. You pray that life and death was in it, because it is. And God will show up in you pray passionately. You pray with all your heart. And God says, I'll meet you there and I'll bless you. There's no way that God would lie. He is not a man that he would lie. If you pray earnestly, he'll meet you indeed. If you pray intensely, he will meet you there. I got to move on. Pray with passion. Wake up. Pray with passion. I'm not talking to you. I'm talking to the text, because that's what happened. First, he'll give you strength. But not only will he give you strength to surrender the will that we talked about, but look at the text. It goes on to say, and being in agony, he prayed more earnestly and intently. And his sweat became like great clots of blood dropping down upon the ground. And when he got up from prayer, he came to his disciples and found them sleeping. Now, you would have thought he would have slapped them on the back of the neck. Just get up. But he didn't do that. He was compassionate toward them. He was graceful toward them. Let me show you in the text. He said, and look at verse 46. He said, why do you sleep? Get up and pray that you may not enter into temptation. His prayer was for them. He prayed for them because when you spend time talking to God, God gives you strength to deal with people. Yeah. Can I talk to you for a moment? Can I talk to you? If I really get on your nerves, then you need to pray harder. If you are easily offended, then we need to talk to the Lord more. Because the more you talk to the Lord, the more you can deal with people who are less than godly. Yeah. Because the Lord reminds you, that's how you used to be. That's how you'd be if you weren't with me. Think about it. The more mature you are, the more able you are to deal with immature people. I'm just going to let that marinate. Yeah. The proof that you are godly is not that ungodly people get on your nerves. Let me talk to you. If you get offended if somebody's sitting in your seat, then you really need to get on your knees. If people easily offend you, I'm talking to myself right now, I'm preaching to them. If people easily offend you, it's because you're more focused on them than you are on God. Okay. I want to recommend, his name is Branson Hansen. He has a book called Unoffendable. Why don't you say that? Unoffendable. I'm going to take my seat. It's called unoffendable, and it's the idea that true Christianity grows you to the place that you're not easily upset. That everybody ain't getting underneath your skin. Everybody ain't offending you. In fact, when we look at the life of Jesus, even in this text, he was not easily offended. Because you cannot spend time with God and be focused on the negative. When you spend time with God, you will see the positive. You'll see the people. Can I confess? Look, I have so many kind people in my life that a few people who really can't stand me horseback walking or riding doesn't bother me. I mean, literally, I could meet somebody in the street and they could cuss at me and I say, well, God bless you. Be encouraged. The Lord loves you. Because when I think about all the people God has sent my way, people who have helped me when I didn't deserve it, people who encourage me when I don't deserve it, people who show up to help just help a brother out, God's been too good to me. How can? If I've had people who've sacrificed, helped, loved, and supported, how can I be offended by a stranger who I barely know? Just because he flipped me off while he was driving, that doesn't get underneath my skin. I just turn my worship music up. I come to worship. Because, look, when you focus on God, you can't focus on man. When you recognize how good God has been, when you recognize how much God has done, I'm going to take my seat on this. Because I didn't tell you, but there is a fifth R. Remember, I talked about the R's. Remember, I talked about reminder. I talked about routine. I talked about replace. Well, let me give you just one more R. And here it is, rejoice. When you recognize how good God has been, when you recognize that God keeps making ways, when you recognize that God keeps opening doors, then you can't help but be appreciative. Hey, look, I went by one of our members' restaurants. One of our members has this amazing restaurant. I'm trying to put a plug in, but we go there some Sundays. I mean, there's an amazing restaurant, and I'll be done, I promise you. Amazing restaurant about 30 minutes away. It's just a wonderful soul food restaurant. Oh my goodness. Ooh, make you want to kiss your mama. The food is so good, it's amazing. I remember we went to the restaurant one time, and we went in, and there was a little situation outside before we got in, and I could have been offended, but I said, you know what, I'm not going to be offended. I remember I was sitting there eating, and my child got a syrup all over me. I was a syrupy mess. Yeah, but I said, I'm not going to be offended. I had such a good time. I went to go pay the bill, and this couple had paid the bill for me. You know how big my family is? I remember I left trying not to cry because I think about the goodness of God and all he's done for me. I can't help but rejoice when I think about his kindness, when I think about his goodness, when I think about, come on, Shiloh, can I talk to you for a moment? When you think about how God has kept this church, when you think about how God has given you health, when you think about how God brought you through school, when you think about how God brought you out the hospital, when you think about how the report was a good report when it should have been a negative report, when you think about how you should be suffering with this and that, but instead he's giving you the strength to recover and run on. When you think about him and leave them alone, you can't help but worship. In fact, I ain't trying to get on your nerve. I just can't help but worship. I can't help but cry out, hallelujah. I can be in the grocery store, walking down the aisle, thank you, Jesus. I can be in my car, singing to myself, you've been so good. When you think about Jesus, you can't help but rejoice. Don't you know that you could be dead? Don't you know that that aneurysm could have taken you out? Don't you know that car wreck could have taken you? Don't you know that disease could have taken you? Don't you know that God could have looked at your sin and said, I'm going to destroy you? But he didn't. Instead, he said, I'm going to shower you with grace. I'm going to shower you with love. I love you with all. When I think about God's love for me, I can't help but love everybody else. We're standing to our feet. The gospel has been preached. It's the reality that God's love for us is bigger than we can imagine, is broader than we can touch, is deeper than we can reach, and higher than we can imagine. God's been good to us. Yeah. He's been good to us. So good to us. And because he's been so good to us, we ought to consistently rejoice him. Because we always have another reason to rejoice. We're standing to our feet because I want to introduce Jesus Christ to you. Jesus Christ is like no other relationship. Because in every other relationship, it's really conditional. It is. Every other relationship is conditional. It's, you know, some people, bad conditions. If you gain 10 pounds, I'm gone. Bad conditions. Every relationship is conditional, with the exception of the relationship with Jesus Christ.